Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Brian and Mary, and this is episode 218.
And guys, I finally got COVID. You probably can hear it in my voice. Had a pretty busy weekend with Thanksgiving weekend, and it finally caught up to me. Haven't had it the whole time that COVID's been going on for, you know, over 2.5 years. So it was just a matter of time. But the weird part about it is, you know, Brian, you had COVID in September, and you first tested positive the day before both of us were going to go get our boosters. And then this time around, I tested positive the day that you were going to get your booster.
Yes.
Luckily you tested negative, so you could still get your flu shot and your booster on Monday. But yeah.
Yeah. So I think this is the fourth booster that we were going to get.
Yeah.
When I got COVID, you hadn't gotten it, so you went ahead and got it. But I had to wait like a couple months or so because I had just gotten COVID. So this is finally my turn to get the booster. I'm like, oh my goodness, if I get COVID again and I'll have to put off the shot again, that'd have been pretty sad. But luckily, you were not contagious when we were hanging out. So I did not get COVID. And
well, so far, isolating. I don't know anyone who I saw this past weekend who has gotten COVID. So that's good.
Right.
We had a busy weekend because it was Thanksgiving weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Thanksgiving at my parents' house. It was the first time that they ever hosted. We had 21 people. Very fun. We made the green bean casserole.
Yes.
And that turned out well. I mean, pretty straightforward to make, but you know, don't want to ruin someone's favorite dish. But what was your favorite
moment?
Moment or food?
Oh, okay. Let's see. Favorite food. My favorite food is always either the green bean casserole, which I don't mean to toot my own horn because we made it.
We were just assigned that anyway.
Yes. Didn't pick it. Or the stuffing that you get.
Oh, yes.
Along with the turkey. So the Thanksgiving specific, honestly, all the food that you have at Thanksgiving is very Thanksgiving specific. Like, I mean, you can have turkey other times too,
yeah, but
it's very a Thanksgiving meal. The cranberries are very Thanksgiving, lots of very Thanksgiving only food, and it's all great. So I'm just very happy about that.
And then what was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment had to be, I had a lot of favorite moments. I'd have to say hanging out and just talking to everyone, just catching up. Yeah. It's kind of a cop out, but it is nice to talk to people and see how they're doing and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
so my favorite, whole thing was my favorite moment.
My favorite food was probably the stuffing, because you know that's just not something you usually eat. And then my favorite moment probably, there's lots, but I have to say the funniest moment I think was when we asked my cousin Brian's daughter, Olivette, she's 4. We asked her what her favorite part of her dinner was, and she said it was the chicken nuggets, aka the turkey. So that was pretty funny. So she kept saying more chicken nuggets, you know, go get her more turkey. But that does
she needs
funny.
A refill.
Yeah, so that was pretty funny. And this is the first time we've actually, you know, made a actual dish besides the veggie tray, which I think you and I made that in 2018. So,
yes, I enjoy cooking, but it was also it's fun to prep a meal with you. Very fun.
Yeah. And then on Friday, it was my 10-year high school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was at a brewery on Capitol Hill. And it was really fun to see a bunch of people who I have seen in the last 10 years, but also people who I haven't seen in the last 10 years, and just catch up with people who, you know, some of them I went to school with for 13 years from kindergarten to 12th grade, just kind of catch up. Everyone pretty much looked the same. Everyone seems to be doing well.
That's good. That's crazy knowing people for basically 13 years. I moved a lot as a kid, but you know, for you to have the experience of basically growing up with the same person, elementary, middle school, high school, that's a very cool experience to have.
Well, you've known me for 10 years, so that's almost almost the same as 13 years. We grew up, but just at a different age, you know.
Oh, okay. Yes.
We were done growing physically, you know, height wise, emotionally, but, you know, maturity wise. Maturity wise, we've grown in the last 10 years instead. So almost the same, but not. And yeah, that was very fun.
Yes, and shout out to Brayden, who may be listening to this at this moment.
Brayden revealed, I was under the impression, I don't know, Brayden, if you want people to know this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because you told me at the reunion in front of a lot of people. But I was under the impression that Brayden listened to this podcast while she was exercising, you know, going for runs for the most part, or stretching before or after her runs. But it was revealed at the reunion that now she has a new routine. It's also called SSS, not Sass, Stories, and Sarcasm. It's Stretch, Shower, Shave. And she listens to the SSS while SSS listens to the podcast while stretch, showering, and shaving. So I thought that was pretty funny. I put that in my notes at the reunion on my phone. I was like, you gotta put this in the podcast. And so Brayden, I hope you're having a great shower right now.
Yes. And we hope this podcast is helping you get through it.
Yeah. Then the next day was an Apple Cup party. I told you guys it was a busy weekend. So AKA probably why I have COVID, but went over to Nick and Miles house and, just watched the Huskies win. It was not the closest game, but it was
close for like the first half. Like it was very back and forth. I think the Huskies were up by 1 point at the end of the first half. But then they ended up running away with the game by the end of the second half. So, and the people that were watching, it was very mixed. There were some,
it was about half and half.
Washington State fans. It was about half and half.
Yeah. And you were rooting for the Huskies, but you don't have a purple shirt. So you were wearing a crimson shirt, but you were rooting for the Huskies, I think.
Yes, it was very confusing. Honestly, I was just, I didn't know who I was rooted for, but I was rooting for the Huskies.
I don't really think you were, though, because not only did you have a crimson shirt on, you also had gray sweats on. So you were wearing Cougar colors head to toe, but you were rooting for the Huskies.
Very confusing.
I had a Husky shirt on. It was gray. So you were like, but you're wearing gray. I'm like, but it says Washington Huskies on my shirt. So it's very clear who I'm rooting for. You're just literally wearing all Cougar colors. So it's not clear.
Yeah, I was just trying to make everyone happy. But maybe I made no one happy by the end of it. Who knows?
Well, the Huskies won, so I was happy. Then on Sunday, I hung out with Ashley, got lunch, caught up. And then, it was back to work on Monday. But, I woke up yesterday morning and I seriously had no symptoms at all weekend until Monday morning. I woke up, I had a sore throat, stuffy nose, and like very slight chest pain, which has since gone away. Clearly, I still have a sore throat and a stuffy nose, but those are my main symptoms as of right now. And so I went and took a COVID test. And then while I was waiting for that one to finish, I took another one just to, double check, because I had a pretty strong feeling this might be it. And it was. And so I took yesterday off from work and just slept a lot, and back to work today, though. And luckily work from home, so it's easy. And also, let's see, this weekend I also set up a whole Google Data Studio report with all of my Peloton stats. So I found a thing on Reddit. Someone had set up a way to export your Peloton workouts every, like, you could set a certain amount of time. So I have it every 8 hours. And then I have it going into a Google Sheet, and then I made it into a Google Data Studio report. And it's very fancy, I have to say. I was very impressed with myself. I used to make a lot of these types of reports at my last job, but I just wanted to do this for fun. And so I have like my average speed, calories, output, watts, resistance, and cadence per month or per week or per day. Also, I can look at all of the different rides I took by length, how many rides per month, week, or day, and then rides by day of the week, rides by type, and then rides by instructor. Obviously, Cody Rigsby is the number one right now. I think he probably will be my number one instructor always on the Peloton. But Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with myself and happy, and it's kind of fun to be able to, like, I can see most of my stats on my bike or on my phone on the app, but I wanted to like kind of aggregate it more and be able to see my progress over time. My goal was to ride 100 miles in November, but that kind of got sidelined because of, you know, COVID. And so my new goal is 80 miles in November. So I've about 5 miles to go. And so I'll do that tomorrow before November ends. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. I really like how you are very passionate about, you know, like working with skills that you learn from, you know, your job and, you know, doing that on your own time. Like
it's pretty straightforward to do. It's, I use Tableau in my old job and Google Data Studio, and Google Data Studio is pretty easy. It's free. And you can just sync up like Google Analytics or a Google Sheet, or you can link up a bunch of different data sources. And then it's just drag and drop graphs, and obviously make it more complicated, but it's pretty fun. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to say about the weekend, Brian?
No, we'll just be getting, oh, actually I do have one thing to add. Okay. So I recently, while grocery shopping, I stumbled across something that I'd always wanted to buy. And this, just wait for it, Mary. So it wasn't this weekend, but it was last week, I should say. And it's worth noting because this tragedy that occurred to me happened this weekend. So get ready for this.
I have no idea what you're going to say.
So I have always like fallen in love with, the chocolate syrup that you could pour on ice cream that like freezes and turns hard.
The shell.
The magic shell, mm-hmm. like chocolate. Like I never had that too many times as a kid, but I remember my mom got it for me one time and I'm like, oh my God, this is actually magic. It's so cool. But anyway, so, you know, I was just doing my normal grocery shopping and I'm like, oh my God, I remember this. And you know what? I'm an adult. I could buy this for myself. So I bought it for myself, right? Uh-huh. And I bought some ice cream, vanilla ice cream, just to, you know, test it and all that. And then I made it and everything, and it was perfect. So then I put the vanilla ice cream away in the freezer, and then I put the shell in the refrigerator, which you're not supposed to do because, you know,
then it just like, hardened.
It hardened. So yeah. When I took it out the second time to use, it was a complete brick. And I couldn't use it. I tried to like heat it up, like, you know, microwave a little bit. I tried to like run it under hot water. I could not heat it up again. Like it was frozen for life.
Yikes.
So I am just so upset that my frozen chocolate, you know, magical syrup it was just a one-time use.
You can ask Santa for it for Christmas.
Yeah, maybe I'll write a letter or whatever, but I figured I'd just share that. So if anyone else has that chocolate shell, just remember it does not do well in cold. It'll magically turn solid.
To me, you bringing this up just makes me feel like you're just asking for someone to get you this for Christmas.
No, I don't need anyone to. And I mean, if they want to, I won't say no, of course, but this is just a, you know, a cautionary tale for all our listeners. If they happen to be purchasing this product, because I ran into this, and I'm just trying to do my place, my thing, and you know, help everyone out from making the same blunder.
Yeah, make your $4 mistake.
Yeah, it's just so upsetting. It still upsets me. But yes, that happened this weekend as well.
But now moving on. Also, all of the rest of our topics happened this weekend. We're going to talk about the World Cup and also the Gonzaga tournament that they were in this past weekend. But, you know, lucky for you, Brian, even though your shell hardened for life, the U.S. actually is making it out of the first round of the World Cup.
Yes, yes. So U.S. Recently, for the first time in 8 years, made the World Cup. So we're like, oh, yay, excitement. And we were in a group with Iran, England, and Wales.
And our last podcast was last Monday. So we just played against Wales.
Yes. Yeah, so we just tied against Wales. And basically, of the four teams, the top two teams leave. And it's based off points. So 3 points per win, 1 point per tie. So since we tied, we had 1 point. And we ended up tying against England 0-0. So then we had 2 points. And unfortunately, coming into the last game, England had won a game and Iran had won a game. So they both had more points than us. So we were in a, we needed to win this game in order to advance into the knockout stage, where basically if you lose, you're out completely. And there are no ties in the next round.
So does it just keep going until someone scores?
That'll give you a little bit of extra time, some overtime. And then they, if it's still tied at the end of this extra time, you will have penalty kicks, which will basically be a decider. But anyways, so the U.S. was heading into this Iran matchup with a need to win mentality. If they tied the game, if it was 0-0 or 1-1, they would have lost and gotten been knocked out of the World Cup. Luckily for us, we scored in the 38th minute. Christian Pulisic basically got past the ball and he scored really close to the goalie, and he actually collided into the goalie. And I think he got injured on the play, but he put his body on the line.
It looked like he might have gotten the goalie's cleat or the knee to the stomach.
Yeah, one of the two, like, hit his like lower groin. And I think they're diagnosing it as a pelvic contusion. I don't know what that means, but something in the pelvis area where you basically get kicked. So, but anyway, so we had this goal and we were 1-0 and we're like, okay, so if everything else stays the same, we will advance. And we started playing more defensively just to try to not score. I don't know if that was the best play or not, because it was very nerve-wracking for the last, for the rest of the game, we were basically playing defense. And, you know, Iran had multiple chances. We were all holding our breath. We're like, oh my gosh, because, you know, if it's 1-0, because we had a 1-0 lead against Wales as well, but then we gave up a goal late. So then it was 1-1, and that was not favorable for us. But we held on to the 1-0 lead. So we will advance to the round of 16 teams now. And we will be playing against the Netherlands. I believe it's sometime this weekend.
It's on Saturday at 7 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, so very early in the morning.
So basically, hopefully on Saturday, we can celebrate a U.S. win. And also, hopefully, I'm going to also take my test on the fifth day, which will be Saturday morning. Hopefully, I'll test negative. So it'll be two things to celebrate, hopefully.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Nothing. One or the other.
Or maybe one of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the Team USA is advancing.
When was the last time they were in the round of 16?
I do not know off the top of my head. I think it was at least 18 years or 16 years ago.
Wow.
So it was a while ago. And this is rare, but we're hopeful. We're hopeful that we can advance. If we advance, again, we'll go to the quarterfinals, I should say. So there'll be eight teams. So we're currently in the round of 16. So this is very exciting, and we'll just have to keep on cheering for Team USA.
Yes.
Yes.
And then now talking about the Gonzaga games that happened over the holiday weekend. First off, Gonzaga was in the Phil Knight Legacy tournament. This guy, he had like four tournaments going on all at the same time. He had two men's tournaments and two women's tournaments all going on in Portland. And our first game was at 9:30 p.m. on Thanksgiving. So, I mean, luckily, you know, dinner's over, everyone had left. So it was honestly good timing. But we're playing against Portland State. Not too much to talk about on this game. Kind of as expected, we beat Portland State by quite a bit, 102-78. So not the most exciting game, but, you know, we'll take it at this point.
Yeah, Malachi Smith actually stepped up big in this game. He led all six players that had double figures with a season high of 23 points in the that was good to see someone scoring besides Timmy. Timmy, of course, scored 18 points and he only missed one shot.
Wow.
So that was really good. Rasir Bolton scored 14 points and had a career high of 8 assists. So all in all, it was a very good Gonzaga game. We kind of slipped up a little bit in the second half. The first half we scored 55-31. So that was what generated our pretty big lead. And then the second half, both teams scored 47 points. So they were able to stay with us in the second half. And that was probably because we basically were just, you know, coasting off of the lead, which is fine.
And we didn't have probably all our starters in, because if we were ahead by that
that's
much.
True. That's true. We gave other players playing time. So, and that's good. So we advanced. We went on to advance Purdue, the Purdue Boilermakers. And
this unfortunately, game was on Friday during my high school reunion. So Brian was just giving me updates.
Yeah, I was keeping tabs. Yeah. You know, while Mary was, saying hi to all our friends, I was just off in the corner looking at my phone.
No, I'm
just kidding. Just kidding. I was there right beside you. I just every now and then just looked at my phone. it was not good. We ended the first half down by 5, and then not too bad there. We actually jumped out for the first 5 minutes, had a 12-4 lead. And unfortunately, our team struggles, I think, when they have athletic guards and, like a taller center that Timmy can't just, you know, spin around. He does a lot of spin moves.
Mm-hmm.
And, that made it very difficult for us, to score. Timmy still scored 22 points, but overall we lost the game 84-66. So not that great. And, you know, so this was a loss to another ranked team. It wasn't a completely.
Both times we've lost were to ranked teams. So
yeah,
that's okay. Better than losing to an unranked team, but this is also the first time. So last week was the first time that Gonzaga had not been in the top 5 ranks, since 2019. And now we're number 14, and this is the first time that we've been this low since 2018, I think. So kind of
going downhill. Yeah, we're going back in time. This is before. Oh no, we were still in.
Yeah, we were
2018.
Yes.
Okay, never mind.
The first time we were ever ranked number 1 in school history was our freshman year.
Yes, I remember that. That was
best day.
Very exciting.
Everyone got a cupcake.
Yes. But luckily for us, the way this tournament was structured, even though we lost, we still could play another game. There's a loser's bracket. So mm-hmm. we got to play against the loser of the team opposite that we would have been playing if we won. And that was the Xavier Musketeers. And this game was extremely back and forth. Like, we jumped out to, I believe, a 13-point lead. Very good, a fast lead as well. And then we ended the first half with a score of 40-34. Pretty decent. And then somewhere along the line, we actually were down with 6 minutes and 21 seconds to go. We were down by 8 points. Somewhere down the line, we just flipped from winning the game to, oh my goodness, what's happening? We're losing the game.
Yeah.
And, you were panicking. I was panicking. I'm like, what's going on here? Luckily for us, we shot a really high 3-point percentage. So when you're down by, 8 points and you just have 2 possessions and you hit 2 threes in a row or something like that, it's very easy to get back into the game. So we actually ended up winning with a score of 88-84. So it was 4-point lead.
The last 2 to 3 minutes, they were just fouling us over and over. And it was like, this game's going to take forever.
Yes.
Only using up 1 second of playing time. And then, we'd shoot and then they'd go down and shoot. And there was a point where, we made our free throws, then they went down and missed their shot. Then they fouled us again. And then we made our free throws and then they also missed. So that really, really helped us. Cause we were getting points and they weren't, obviously. So, but yeah, it was kind of a long end to the game, but luckily we came out on top. I do have to say, Purdue did beat Duke in the championship game of this tournament, 75-56.
Yes.
And so it actually was turned out okay. Cause I mean,
yeah,
we lost
a good team
to Purdue, but, at least Purdue beat Duke.
Yes. Yes. So other top teams lost in this tournament. Like, this is the first time teams really have a chance to play against multiple ranked teams, you know, back to back to back. And, you know, Duke lost, UNC lost two games in this, in the other tournament that's out there. So a lot of teams, like, basically their rankings got shifted after the end of this tournament. And what you thought, I believe, Purdue started off as a 25th, and now they're like in the top five or something like that. So that is,
well, they beat us and they beat Duke. So that makes sense. And West Virginia.
Yes. Yes. So this is a great opportunity to, you know, basically test the current roster and, you know, how much you've grown against other teams. And hopefully we can learn from not just the Purdue game, but also the Xavier game, because once again, we were winning. And then all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, we were down by 8 points with like almost 5 minutes to go. And that's not good. So we got some things to clean up. But
we can't rely on Timmy only. We need to have some other people step up, which sometimes some games they have, but, you know, we still need someone to consistently step up like Timmy does every game.
Yeah, consistent. Like,
who just is, in case he has an off game, we need someone else to be there.
Yeah, in fact, I don't think Timmy's had an off game, which is good for us. Yeah, but in the case, like, who is our second best consistent guy? Like, it's usually always someone else. Like,
Rassier Bolton's been pretty good. Yeah.
Strother's been pretty good.
Nolan Hickman has been not the most consistent, but good. And then also I found out today that Kelly Olynyk is going to be honored. His jersey's going to be hung up in the rafters of the McCarthy Athletic Center, which is exciting. It's interesting. Obviously, he was a very good player. He's in the NBA still, and he graduated in 2013. So he's had like a 9-year career in the NBA. But I do find it interesting how Gonzaga decides which players to honor and hang their jersey up. They're not retiring his number 13, but they are just going to be honoring him in the December 5th game against Kent State. But there's so many good players. So I'm just curious, because if they just honor all the players and hang every good player's jersey in the rafters, then it loses its meaning. So, I wonder how they decide.
Yeah, usually they reserve it for people that, I guess.
Well, there's there's right now John Stockton and Adam Morrison. Their jerseys are hung up in the kennel. And then in addition, they're going to be adding Dan Dickow's jersey the following week after Kelly Olynyk. And then in women's basketball, they're going to hang up Courtney Vandersloot's jersey as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see in the next few years if, like, let's see, Kevin Pangos or Sabonis or any of those players will get their jerseys hung up.
Yeah, I mean,
what's the criteria?
Yeah, some colleges require you to attend 4 years.
Oh, okay. So Kevin Pangos could still do it.
Yeah, some colleges require you to graduate, basically.
Makes sense.
So like there have been some stories of like NBA players that were really good, but, you know, they left to the NBA. They actually come back like later to finish whatever.
Yeah. Like, you know, Adam Morrison
degree that they, legit degree that they've been working on. And then they're like, okay, you're an alum. You've graduated. And now you can be recognized as a student athlete or something like that. So we'll have to see. Yeah. I feel like Kelly, I don't know. I can't remember if Kelly was part of the team that went to the UNC final game.
No, he graduated in 2013.
I don't know why he's getting this, but congrats to him.
yeah, I was a little confused as well, but I do know that like his junior year, he was not as good. Then he took a redshirt year and really, really improved. And then his senior year, he was amazing. And that is the reason why he was able to get into the NBA. Just how much work he put into his redshirt year. So, you know, maybe just seeing the improvement he made over.
Yeah, that's a good career. Reason.
Yeah.
Oh, that and then reason.
Still being able to play in the NBA so far, 9-year career. So.
Yeah, that's certainly worthy of celebrating.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
So yeah, hope everyone had a really good Thanksgiving, and hopefully I am over COVID by the time I talk to you next. And yeah, have a good week. Bye.
Bye.